There's going to be now a total of 300 spells in the Icewind Dale universe and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how many of those are new to Icewind Dale 2?
I think we've added a few dozen new spells.
Mm-hmm.
Adding new spells wasn't a huge priority for Icewind Dale 2. There are so many spells in the game. And, I mean, we actually recently, someone was saying, when we were talking about kits, someone was saying, like, oh, we want more kits and more kits and more kits. I said, well, we could add more kits, or we could add more spells, or we could add more of this. And, it's a matter of determining what our priorities are. And people were like, geez, there are already so many spells, we can't even cast them all. So we were like, oh, okay. So we haven't added that many new spells, but we added new high-level spells because there were some very appropriate criticisms leveled towards Icewind Dale and Heart of Winter that we didn't really have enough high-level spells to make players feel like their high-level spellcasters, like their wizards and clerics, really, were getting cool options when they reached those levels. So we added some new spells and like Executioner's Eyes, which is a high-level divination spell that gives your characters bonuses to critically hit, and Aegis, which is like a mass protection spell that a spellcaster can use. Normally, wizards have to cast a bunch of little protection spells to get
mm-hmm.
a big net effect of, and protect them in a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Aegis is this ninth-level spell. They can cast it. It's like an immediate casting time, and they're immediately covered with the effects of a whole bunch of different lower-level spells, so it's very useful.
Wow. Cool. There's also 100 new special items in the game. Maybe you can, we'd be here all day if you ran down the whole list, but maybe you could just tell us about some of the ones that some of the cool ones that you think are more cooler, your favorite ones that you implemented, or ones you can't wait to see people check out.
Well, we implemented a whole range of them. In Icewind Dale 1, I had to make all of them myself, all the unique items. There are actually 100 unique magic items in the game with all their own histories and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But there are over, Damien Folletto, who's a new designer in Black Isle, made over, 500 random unique, or not random unique items, but random magical items.
Wow.
That go into the random item table. And the responsibilities of making all the unique items were divided among all the different area designers. But they range from very, very minor things like there's this weird little charm you can find on a villager in Targos called the Lucky Nucky, which is knucklehead trout are this sort of like classic thing that Icewind Dale is known for. They're these special trout with big heads that people carve the bone to make like little knickknacks and stuff. And this guy, there's this like little story about this lucky trout that saved his life, and so he kept his little head as a charm, and it just grants luck. It's like a really minor thing, but it has this little funny history that goes along with it. And there are all sorts of different items, like weapons and robes and bracers and shields and suits of armor that are all over the game. So I almost can't even think of any.
There's too many. It like clogs the brain at once. Too many trying to get in there.
Yeah.
What are some of the newer enemies that the game will be seeing in Icewind Dale 2?
The initial ones that players, I think, will find interesting are there are goblin riders. They ride wargs, which are giant wolves, which they're pretty funny. They have those and goblin shamans, who they have very distinctive little look, and those are some of the first monsters that people will see that are very new. The goblins riding on wargs are basically fast, tough goblins.
Mm-hmm.
They move extremely quickly, so it's very hard to get away from them or try to like evade them, and they'll ride up in packs and swarm you. The goblin shamans are little goblin spellcasters that back up and bolster the weaker goblin forces. And then the bugbears, which some players might recognize from Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance, are big, like the biggest of the goblins, basically, and they're kind of the bullies that are keeping everyone in line. Later in the game, they'll see a number of classic D&D monsters like the Hook Horror,
mm-hmm.
Which is like this sort of underground, kind of looks like a little vulture monster that taps around in the Underdark, and then Driders, which are half dark elf, half spiders, very, very dangerous opponents. And then there are a number of unique enemies that I won't get into, but I think their animations have come out very interesting, so I think we'll have plenty of interesting things for people to look at from the perspective of unique enemies and the ones that you fight at sort of in mass battles.
Sweet. Chock full of enemies, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. And that's another thing our animator, Pete Meyerhausen, was saying like you said, geez, what monsters are we going to do? Because over all these different Infinity Engine games, between BioWare and Black Isle, we've animated so many monsters that it's, you know, we're like practically running out of monsters to animate. So
do you guys have like a I don't even know what, like a big black book of all the stuff that you guys in BioWare have done, like a listing of all the different, you know, items and magical spells and, like you said, enemies and stuff that you've animated?
Well, it's BioWare and Black Isle, the engines sort of like stay separate, but a lot of the assets can be shared, usually.
Uh-huh.
So we use some code from BioWare for Icewind Dale that they were using for BG2. And then in BG2, they use some of the monster animations that we had used in Icewind Dale. And so we share resources back and forth, and we sort of keep a catalog. We keep these catalogs independently. And sometimes we can share some of that stuff, and sometimes due to file formatting compatibilities and things like that.
Right.
Our two versions of the engine kind of diverge. But, over time, we have these contact sheets that are just filled with all the different animations in our game. And
wow.
All the different spells. We have Excel sheets that have all the different, you know, like spells and what level they are and all that sort of stuff. So we're known for being perhaps excessively attentive to documentation in Black Isle. So we have pretty big catalogs of all that stuff.
Nice. What's your favorite, again, we're talking with Josh Sawyer from Icewind Dale 2. What's your favorite thing about working in Icewind Dale in that whole universe?
I think specifically working on the Icewind Dale games, and this is something that is sometimes hard to... Basically, the Icewind Dale games are they're a similar game to the BG style games, but they're a very different focus. Icewind Dale was, as everyone pretty much knows, it's not like secret. It was originally made. It was supposed to be a fairly short development cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't supposed to be like Baldur's Gate. You don't have NPCs that join your party. You make all six of your characters at once, and so it's really focused more on party advancement, dungeon exploration, and combat. And Baldur's Gate 2 and Baldur's Gate have always been more focused sort of on a very strong story that's focused on the central character, a lot of interaction with the NPCs that join your group, and a lot of very in-depth quests that go all over city environments and things like that. So it's fun working on this game, or on these games, because they have a different focus. Not all BG fans necessarily like Icewind Dale, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in Icewind Dale 2, we really have tried to focus very hard on taking the stuff that we believe was the focus of Icewind Dale and really, really tightening it up and making it a very fun sort of combat-oriented role-playing game with a very good story, good play balance, as far as the game mechanics are concerned. And it's fun to work on that sort of stuff because you can really get in deep to the sort of mechanics and stuff, which can be fun.
Cool. Just to kind of wrap up, to kind of get to know you a little bit more, what titles are you looking forward to this year? I mean, obviously, besides finishing Icewind Dale 2 and that unnamed one, which you can announce right here. We really don't mind. what are you looking forward to playing this year?
Well, I'll be interested to see how Neverwinter Nights turns out.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, even though we've had all the weirdness
between
Interplay and BioWare and Infogrames and everything, but it'll be really interesting to see how that comes out. Also, because a lot of people, I don't think they're necessarily fair comparisons, but Dungeon Siege will be coming out. That'll look very good. I have talked to a few of the guys at Ensemble Studios about Age of Mythology, and I think that will be very, very cool. I loved Age of Empires 2, and I think Ensemble's guys just make incredible games. So I'm not usually into RTSs, but for some reason, the sort of historically oriented ones always get me. So
cool. Yeah, we actually did an interview with two of the people from Age of Mythology, from Ensemble, Greg and Dave, over there, and it does sound pretty sweet, the ambitions they have going for that. Unfortunately, it's been delayed, though. I don't know if you heard about that.
Hopefully, it'll make it better, though. So.
Yep, there you go. There you go. Okay, last question here, Josh. If Josh isn't gaming, he is?
Oh, when I'm not gaming?
Yep.
I'm probably taking my 7-year-old BMW to get repaired. I've been having problems recently, and I love my car, but sometimes I hate my car.
Yeah, just like computers. Sometimes you love them, sometimes you hate them. Well, Josh, we totally appreciate your time coming on, and maybe we can get you back on when you can talk about that unnamed, unannounced game.
Sure, that'd be great.